You know what a cool idea would be when we're thinking about this series, Tell the World? We'd like to grow the church. Anyone think that's a good idea? Sometimes you get comfortable, we get to know everybody. I like that, walking in. And if we were at a Delaware triple, maybe it seemed less personal. But at the end of the day, it's just a sign of everything that we're doing is going to more ears, for more ears to go out and disciple more people. So when we thought about this, what's the best way to grow the church? What's the best marketing idea? I mean, businesses put billions of dollars into marketing to sell their product. What's our product? Jesus. Some of you may say, hey, don't call them a product. Just the point of being, what we're trying to not even sell, but give away, is the truth of Jesus and his word. And so the best marketing is when people are excited about the product. Have you ever tried a product and you love it so much you tell everybody about this product? Maybe you're out there and you're like, oh man, I tried this wrinkle cream and they like vanished. It's fantastic. You got to try this wrinkle cream. And if you're a friend and you have wrinkles, like, hey, well, I buy this wrinkle cream. I want my wrinkles gone. I mean, we are great marketers. So the idea of saying tell the world, and what we've been trying to do through all of this, and even the last few weeks of telling your story, is to help us understand why we have a reason to be excited about what Jesus has done in our lives. So we can take this product, this life-saving product of Jesus Christ, and tell other people about him, because we want them to experience what we've experienced through the forgiveness, the grace, the love, the joy, the hope of Jesus Christ. And so you are marketers. So it's not so much about market Port of Open Bible Church. This is where you go to church, and I'm glad that you do. But I want us to grow. And we're going to grow by you guys being excited about what Jesus is doing in your life. And as you tell them, even if people don't come to Fort Fan, whatever, but we are kingdom-minded. People need to know about Jesus. That's why we're doing this series. It's so easy to get so comfortable in what you already know. And I say that from just someone who's been a Christian since I was 5. It's so easy to get comfortable. Yeah, I love Jesus. Yeah, this and that. This series, studying this, has helped me rethink when I'm at work. Really, Matt, are you taking the opportunities that God's given you? When I'm out and about, am I thinking about people, man, they need truth? Or do I just kind of, hey, how you doing, and just go on with life? So hopefully this series is bringing us to a point of, hey, I have an amazing product. Everyone needs this product. This will enhance everybody's life that's on this earth. How am I doing at marketing the truth in the name of Jesus Christ? So that being said, last week, who was here? Okay, what did I talk about? I did a really good job, so you should remember. Talked about telling your story. Terry started us off on, we all have a story. These stories come in many forms, and even today I'm going to go kind of a little direction on the same topic. So last week, we talked about, in a way, one story that we all have, if you've asked Jesus in your heart, is your conversion story. And that is when you ask Jesus Christ to come into your heart. That's a powerful story, because there's a reason why you would do that. And so your story is, say, hey, you're just talking to someone that's maybe they're going through a hard time in life, and you can say, you know, I did this thing. And I gave my heart to Jesus, and I started getting into the Word, realizing this was the truth. And I'm telling you, it changed the way that I think about things. It redirected my mind. It took the depression and the anger of the world, the bitterness, even the part of me that just wanted to get back and wanted them to have theirs. It gave me a love, a compassion for people. Man, when I gave my heart to Christ, when I got into the Word, it just helped me see things differently. That is a story that has power. And a little bit of last week, I shared just about amazing stories that Jesus, things where Jesus does in your everyday life that you can share that just shows people that he's there. I mean, I talked about praying for my friend's cows. Well, that's not like life-altering salvation, but that is, Jesus was there. I prayed, a miracle happened. These cows that were refusing to walk into this gate to be loaded for 4 days walked in on their own without even brought. That's amazing. I've shared this story before, but when my wife and I, we wanted to move to an acreage, and we were ready to do it right then. And we said, it would be so cool. I said, God, if you could cut out, I don't want the whole farm, but if you could cut out a farmhouse and the barn, that would be so cool. And my wife said, if I could stand at the sink and look out the window and see cornfield, that would be so cool. Took a while. God wasn't in a hurry. 4 years later, we go to a place, an 80-acre farm that 5 acres had been cut out of and sold alone. Had that red barn right in the back. My wife walked into the kitchen. I walk into the kitchen. I turn to the right, put my hands on the farm sink, look out the window at a cornfield. See, those are cool stories. That's what we prayed for, and that's the way God answered. Those stories are powerful. Just lets people know that there is a God. He does listen, and He does answer prayer. But now I want to talk to you about telling a different style of story. Very personal, in many cases very difficult, very hard, but amazingly powerful. This book that we're using, Evangelism Handbook by Alvin Reed. Now, what we call stories, Alan refers to as testimonies. He has a section in here. I want to read this to you. It's called the Recovery Testimony. So we would call it our recovery story. This comes in different forms. Recovery could happen from an addiction. You could have a story where you've had a life of addiction, and it's through the power of Jesus Christ you could tell that story. I've been very open years ago about an addictive behavior I had in the area of pornography. And what's so beautiful about that story is the freedom and all these years I've lived without it. Just that blessing I can't even explain. There's power in that story. But to tell recovery stories, you have to be willing to be transparent, and you have to be willing to open yourself up a bit. And that's very difficult for some, if not many, or even at times all of us, to make ourselves very transparent. Because in the area of addiction, you're saying, I screwed up really bad for quite some time. But that's not the story. That's just the start of it. The end of it is, this is how I recovered from that. Also, recovery stories could be very painful stories. You've went through watching someone, maybe it's a close, go through death, maybe it's a sickness, just a very difficult, maybe something that separated a family or a marriage. But you have a story to tell of how God got you through that. Those stories get people's attention because they're real. They're everyday life that a lot of people have to deal with. And like I said, they're transparent. They're seeing you open up for the sake of, you need this. I went through this. It was hard. But through the grace of God, I made it. Now you need this. So listen to this. I want to read this portion. I want to play a video for you that is very powerful. He titles it The Recovery Testimony. The reason the organization known as Mothers Against Drunk Driving makes such an impact is that the founder lost her son to a drunk driver. Chuck Colson's passion for prison ministry is fueled in large measure by his own time spent in prison. Then the author says, the difficulty my wife and I experienced before we had kids, coupled with the severe illnesses our children both faced in childhood, has given us a special burden for infertile couples and those who have lost children. It is amazing how many people have common struggles. A recovery testimony is a story of how God has helped you through a difficulty since coming to Christ. It gives praise to God for His work in bringing us through a crisis. So this mom that loses her son What could have happened? Revenge, anger, just dive into alcoholism to forget about it. Instead, she starts a foundation. Just the heart of Christ gets in her and she acts on it. I'm going to play a video on Chuck Colson's passion, but he was all about himself and power and getting to the top, and he gets knocked down in the next scenario and he does something better with it. It's just amazing how much power is in a story that can start off so harsh but become so amazing. Let's watch this video. That's a story. Guy's in the White House. He's got power. He's got people underneath him. He's getting away with all kinds of different things, and then he's caught. Probably one of the greatest acts that God ever did in his life is for him to get found out of the lifestyle he was leading. And so he takes that. He owns up to it. He takes responsibility for it. And he realizes that I have an avenue here. And it was through... That's what... Romans 8:28, we say that a lot. But all things work, how? To the good for those who love the Lord. So he realizes, hey, I'm in prison when many people might just give up or even try and get even more crooked. Hey, get me out of here. He realizes God has a path for me. It wasn't my design, but he has a path for me. And so he just begins to crawl out of that hole. And then when he sees what Jesus did in his life, he tells the story, and you see what happened. Goes back into prisons, and that just became his ministry. It's amazing. It's not to say, wow, what a phenomenal guy. It's what a phenomenal God that can work through us despite our past. The stories that we have and the power that are in those stories of redemption through God. I want to tell you another story. The Apostle Paul. He actually tells a recovery story right here in the Word of God. Listen to this. I used to believe they ought to do everything I could to oppose the very name of Jesus of Nazarene. Instead, I did just that. Indeed, I did just that in Jerusalem. Authorized by the leading priest, I caused many believers there to be sent to prison, and I cast my vote against them when they were condemned to death. Many times I had punished them in the synagogue to get them to curse Jesus. I was so violently opposed to them that I even chased them down in foreign cities. Sound like a nice guy? Man, this, in a way, guys, this is like a Hitler-style hate. He was so against this new faith, this good news, this new teaching. He did everything in his power, watching people be beat, putting them to death, everything that he could do to just rid them of, just to get this Jesus talk gone. One day I was on such a mission to Damascus, so on his way to do even more harm, armed with the authority and commission of the leading priest, backed by the leading religious authorities. About noon, Your Majesty, as I was on the road, a light from heaven, brighter than the sun, shone down on me and my companions. We all fell down, and I heard a voice saying to me in Aramaic, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? It is useless for you to fight against my will. Who are you, Lord? I asked. And the Lord replied, I am Jesus, the one you are persecuting. Now get to your feet, for I have I have appeared to you to appoint you as my servant and witness. Tell people that you have seen me, and tell them what I will show you in the future. And I will rescue you from both your own people and the Gentiles. Yes, I am sending you to the Gentiles, listen to this, to open their eyes so they may turn from darkness to light from power, the power of Satan, to God. Then they will receive forgiveness for their sins and be given a place among God's people who are set apart by faith in me. Did you hear that? He's taking him from a life of misdirection. He's giving him something that he never thought he would do. Not only is he going to share the faith. See, Paul, he was a rabbi, a Pharisee. He knew religious law. But God is taking him to the Gentiles who the Jews opposed. He's going to take this new news to the Gentiles. You see, Chuck here didn't see himself ministering to prisoners. It said he tried to avoid them. Those style of people, he said. And so, the love of Jesus Christ brings Paul out of this deceptive mindset and behavior and sets him on this new path. And so, King Agrippa, I obeyed that vision from heaven. I preached first to those in Damascus, then in Jerusalem, and throughout all Judea, and also to the Gentiles, that all must repent of their sins and turn to God, and prove they have changed by the good things they do. Some Jews arrested me in the temple for preaching this, and they tried to kill me. But God has protected me right up to this present time, so I can testify to everyone from the least to the greatest. I teach nothing except what the prophets and Moses said would happen, that the Messiah would suffer and be the first to rise from the dead. And in this way announce God's light to the Jews and Gentiles alike. Is that a story or what? That is Paul's recovery story. God changed him, gave him a new direction, and what did he do? He told people about it. He is pulled in front of the king, and this is, Paul went through it. He was in prison so long that authorities were changing, terms were coming up, people were moving on, he'd have to retell his story. So through that whole time, he just keeps ministering the truth. He's saving people in prisons. He's allowing soldiers that had beat and flogged him to hear the truth. He is living out compassion. All of that because the amazing thing that God did in his life. What if Paul would have taken that Damascus Road experience and kept it to himself? Great experience. He believed it. He now knows that there's a Jesus. He repents of his sins, but he just stays private about it. That story doesn't go out. His writings aren't published in the Word of God. Gentiles aren't hearing the truth. All these letters in the New Testament aren't being written. Paul told his story, and because of that, the power of God moved. So what's your story? I say that singular, but it's actually plural. There again, there's many of us who have a story about salvation, how God came into our life. There's many of us that have stories that happen every day. I have a few that happened last week where I've seen God do things I think are so cool. I can share those to talk about the power of God and how I've seen it work. But then there's that personal gut level. You've been through something. Almost, how am I going to get through this? I watched a family grieve just a few days ago. I did a funeral. A young man that was in my youth group years ago called me up. His mom had a heart attack, just completely out of blue, and died almost instantly. Spending time with that family, I'm telling you, I saw grief that... You just pray, God, I hope that they keep pushing. I hope that they keep going. There's a lot of hurt. There's a lot of pain out there, and people need hope. 3 weeks ago, got a call from one of my cousins. Said, hey, one of our cousins have passed away. We knew that she was ill. would you get a hold of, she told me a name of my knitter. This is three cousins we're talking about here. Would you call Diane and get a hold of her? They would like you to do the funeral. We're just going to do a graveside. So I got a hold of Diane. Has anyone ever met anyone in life that you're just positive that of all the people in the world, they are one of the probably top 100 sweetest people that there are? That's my cousin Diane. She is just, when you meet her, she's just compassion. And she's telling me about, you know, it was her sister that passed. But I know Diane had been through even more, so I'm just talking to her. We're going through the funeral, but Diane had lost her daughter just weeks before this, probably 2 months before this. And her daughter had had some sicknesses over time, and I believe it was in her early 40s. And for the last two or three years, she was at home, and Diane and her husband just cared for her, did everything for her, and then watched her pass. And then weeks later, I'm just listening Diane tell about everything that she did for her sister, Kathy. I mean, all the runs, the food, the take her anywhere she knew. I'm like, Diane, how did you do that? Your daughter's sick, your sister's sick, and you're just pouring yourself out. And see, you've probably heard this before, but just hearing someone compassionately tell me their story, she said, man, I have no idea how people do this without the hope of Jesus Christ. That sustains me. It gets me through. I know that there's a future. I know where my daughter's at. I know where my sister's at. What a beautiful, beautiful spirit. And I even told her, I said, you're just a special kind of person. But that hope gives strength. And you have no idea the people around you, how badly they need that strength. We can't look at someone and tell what they're going through. That's why the Word just tells us, just live as the light. You don't flick it on every now and then, you just live it. And that living, it reminds me, we had a small group meeting, I think it was two or three weeks ago, last Saturday night, or a few Saturday nights ago, excuse me. And we're talking about kind of, I forget the exact topic, but in different ways of how we affect the people that we're around. And my wife just looks over at Linda Jansen and said, Linda, when Rod was sick, her husband had passed years ago, when he was sick with ALS, she said, we were watching you. How is this going to affect Linda? I mean, this is devastating. I can't imagine, still can't, Linda, what you had to go through watching and knowing most likely it was in the future. We were watching you. She was living out her story without even speaking it. She kept her faith in God. She got even more involved. Someone going through that kind of hurt, next thing you know, she's up teaching kids. You walk in, you hear a laugh all through the hallways, you know. It's like, where does that laugh come from what you've been through? Your story can be told sometimes without even speaking. How is God working through you? How are you taking these difficult times in life, whether it happened to you, around you, or maybe even addictive behavior that you're happening to yourself? When God walks you through that, you have a powerful story to tell that will change lives because you're telling about the power of God. Please be willing to tell that story. Chuck Colson was willing to tell that story and affected many. The one problem is if you're not quite out of the woods yet. Who wants to tell a story when you're still struggling? Anyone ever been there? Boy, I have. I want to tell a story of how to get away from this addictive behavior if I keep dipping my toe back in it. We have got to allow ourselves to open our eyes to see that we need to do everything we can to pull us away from those behaviors that Satan's trying to pull us in. Accountability, I mean, get it out, open it up, don't try to hide anything. What happened when Chuck finally got caught? Well, that was the time when he could really make it right. So if you're struggling now, please seek help. Talk to me, someone that you can trust in the Lord. Get it out there, because there's a story that needs to be told. God will walk you through that. I guarantee He will. So, two things. Last week we had I'm just going to read them both to you, a focus point, and this week I want to add this one to it. Our stories point people to Jesus and serve as a reminder of all He has done for us. We have a story worth telling. Your story is worth telling. Your story will affect people. Don't diminish yourself, because there's nowhere in the Word of God where He will diminish you. Your story is powerful, because if Jesus Christ did something through you, your story is filled with the Holy Spirit. Then, listen to this. Some of our most powerful stories have come out of our darkest times. By sharing these stories, we are offering the hope of Jesus Christ. So where Satan may want you to say, hey, that story, just forget it, keep it to yourself, forget that chapter in your life. But why would you do that if you can see where Jesus has brought you from that? Maybe He helped you deal with an extremely difficult death, extremely difficult time, or like we talk about, extremely difficult addiction. By sharing these stories, we are offering the hope of Jesus. So Lord God, right now I pray that You will speak to each of our hearts. Right now, I think some of our minds are just buzzing like, oh man, I don't know. The Apostle Paul, just the humility that he had to all of a sudden have to think, I was so wrong. I did so much bad. How can I even live with myself? But through the power of Christ, not only did he live with himself, he was a changed man. He told his story. He righted the ship. Because of that, probably millions of people have heard about the truth of Jesus Christ, if not billions. So God, may we know that that is true for us. May we tell our stories. May we be transparent. May we open up to people. May they see that this is really true to us. This means something to us. And we love them enough to let them in, to tell them this truth. There is a hope for them. There is a light that they can follow. There is a love that they've never felt before. May we tell our stories and allow people to see Jesus and hear Jesus through them. Thank You for this opportunity, dear God, to share this truth. Walk with us as we take those difficult steps, but then allow us to see the fruit that comes from a life who opens himself up and lives for Jesus Christ. Thank You, dear God. We pray all of this in Your name alone. Everyone says, amen.